knowledge, wisdom, and guidance, that deliberations and decisions may be according to your will, which knows and represents the highest good. Establish and confirm righteousness and justice among us. And Lord God, irrespective of any particular political view, as senators of this state, we ask that you be with every member of our state's deployed combat troops and their family members. In your omniscience, omnipotence, and mercy, be with them and meet their every need. May we receive your gracious answer to these petitions to the honor of your name and for the benefit of your people. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Cute kids, look at that.
Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cullen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Youngbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Lorry, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Salzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is executive and official communications. Next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file numbers 1495 and 1019. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 303, a bill for an act relating to local government extending the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Advisory Task Force. Senate file 303 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 303 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay. Senator Wergen, maybe you could explain the changes of the bill that...
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, the changes that the House made were inadvertent omissions of my own, so they corrected what I'd neglected to put on. This is the sheet of paper that's been on your desk twice in the past, and I asked yesterday that you look at before you leave chambers. There are slight changes. Number one, it takes and it removes a July 1, 2007 sunset. It would do no good to do this bill if we did not take the agreed position of removing the July 2001 sunset for some annexation procedures that have been in place for a period of time and have been working very well, and cities and townships both favor that sunset being removed. It simplifies the annexation notification process in that the notifications are different for the first time there is an annexation consideration than they are when a second parcel that's part of an orderly annexation is completed on that parcel. The other minor change that it's made has been agreed to as well by the Municipal Boundary Adjustments Office, both cities and the township representatives. So no one has any objections to this bill. There are no costs in the bill except the report that comes at the end of the task force, and the cost of that report will be covered by the League of Minnesota Cities, the Greater Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, and the Minnesota Association of Townships. It's all agreed upon stuff. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, Oregon renews her motion that the Senate concur with the amendments by the House to send a file 303. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Any discussion? Secretary will give the concurrence and repassage its third reading.
Senate File 303, a bill for an act relating to local government modifying municipal boundary adjustment provisions, extending the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Advisory Task Force, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Being 53 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments and concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 54, a bill for an act related to economic development, dissolving the Hibbing Area Redevelopment Agency, etc. Senate File 54 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur to the amendments by the House on Senate File 54 and that the bill be placed on its passage as amended.
Okay. Senator Tomasoni, tell the body the changes that were made.
Mr. President, this was a bill that referred to a local HRA in Hibbing, and the change was that the section is the effective date after the City Council of the City of Hibbing and the Chief Clerical Officer timely complete compliance with Minnesota statute section. So it's just concurring with the House bill.
Senator Tomasoni renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File Number 54. And the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Further discussion, the Secretary will give the bill, Senate File 54, its third reading.
Senate File 54, a bill for an act relating to economic development, dissolving the Hibbing Area Redevelopment Agency, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
Dan Scogan.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Or being 50, get to your seat. Senator Murphy votes aye. Saltzman votes push your button. The board's still open. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments and concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 961, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, providing for regulation of shoreland resorts. Senate File 961 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albert A. Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Scorgan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 961 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Scorgan, discuss with the body the changes that were made.
We passed Senate File 961 here in the Senate, and it also had similar language in the 1312 omnibus bill, and that was the correct language. So this is correcting 961 to concur with the same language as in 960. It takes out a word that was inappropriately put in there. A that had to be removed. And then there was a line in there for more than 30 days within a calendar year on a resort, and that had to be removed to make the language the same, and this just corrects that.
Senator Scogan renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 961 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in before that, Senator Pearsall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to put in a good word for this bill, and for people who are not on the Environment Committee, this is one who a bill that changes things and makes it better for the mom-and-pop resorts, and you all know some of those because you probably go there in the summertime or when you have relatives coming in. So I'd urge a positive vote.
Good, renews his motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Any further discussion? The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 961, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, providing for regulation of shoreland resorts.
Secretary will take the roll. Senator Moy. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
And, Mr. President, I do honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 69, a bill for an act relating to commerce prohibiting expiration dates and service fees on gift certificates. Senate File 69 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albert A. Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendment by the House to Senate File 69 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Sieben, you can tell the senators the changes that are in this bill since it left here.
Mr. President, all this amendment does is it makes the bill effective August 1st, 2007, so that it applies to gift certificates and gift cards that are sold after that date.
Senator Sieben renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 69 and that the bill be placed on repassage as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Any further discussion? Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 69, a bill for an act relating to commerce prohibiting expiration dates and service fees on gift certificates and gift cards.
Secretary will take the roll. John. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes and 8 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 184, a bill for an act relating to health, authorizing registered nurses to dispense oral contraceptives, etc. Senate File 184 is here with return to the Senate. Signed, Albany Master, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 184 and a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act like the like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On Senator Marty's motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Excuse me. Oh, back up. I'm sorry. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I would like to see us concur with the amendments that the House made on this bill. I think that it's a reasonable bill, and they put some reasonable amendments on it over in the House, including some parental consent information. And I'd like to really see us concur on this. And, you know, as we are short on time, I think that, you know, putting together a conference committee, and it would just make more sense at this point in time to concur with those.
She did. Okay. Senator Marty.
Mr. President, I request a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Marty.
Mr. President, I move further proceedings in the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant be requested to bring in absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I'd like to request a roll call vote.
Okay. There will be a roll call. Senator Neville.
Mr. President, before we vote on this, could somebody explain what the differences are that Senator Marty wants a conference committee? Senator Fischbach is suggesting we should accept the House amendments. Would one of you give us an explanation as to what amendments were added by the House that create this question?
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, I don't have them right here. They put on three or four amendments. This was a bill that passed the Senate 64-1 or something, I believe. They put on several amendments that were telling the commissioner not to. They deleted a section on not meeting with family planning clinics to negotiate medical assistance rates that would be sufficient to do it. They put restrictions on clinics that receive family planning agencies so that the agencies themselves, not just the clinics, cannot provide abortions. And they also put on a provision on parental consent, which changes our current law on that. These are major policy issue things, and I think the bill as it was a good bill that meets some much-needed family planning services for low-income people. So I'd urge us to go to conference committee and discuss the amendments.
Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, when I moved to concur with the House, I explained exactly the changes almost word for word, and I had a letter on everyone's desk twice. Can you tell me where I can find these changes? I'm sure we should be able to see them somewhere.
I think the Journal of the House dated May 15th, pages number 6697 to pages 6705. Further discussion on the Marty motion. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Marty, if I could ask you a question. You briefly went through some of the provisions in the House bill, and you made reference to something about the House had restrictive language requiring parents to be notified of, what was it, medical records, or what was it? Could you expand on that, please?
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, I was planning to spend more time on this in conference committee rather than discuss all the House amendments on the Senate floor, because I haven't spent a lot of time looking at them, but
Listen up here. Senator Marty.
But they did put on an amendment that dealt with parental notification issue, which for dispensing of contraceptives, I believe.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. President, I'd just like to take a minute and maybe try to explain a little better to Senator Limmer. This is for patients under the age of 12 that they would have to have parental notification to dispense oral contraceptives. So we're talking about a under 12-year-old child who would be taking oral contraceptives and having their parent notified.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Fischbach, the way you understand it, with the existing bill that the Senate has, do we put any notification requirement in the event that a youngster wants or is given oral contraceptions by another person? Do we put any age limit on that in this particular Senate version of the bill?
Senator Fischbach.
To the best of my understanding, in the existing underlying Senate file 184, no, it does not. The bill would really only addressed having the dispensing done by a specific group of nurses.
And Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, the way I understand it, the House was trying to put at least some modicum of parental instruction to the parent of at least someone who is at age 12 and under to give them the idea that someone out there is giving their daughter oral contraception, and some of us think that that's somewhat repugnant of some sort. I'm somewhat amazed that we're limiting it to 12. I would think that it would be higher, but if that's in the bill, that certainly would give us one reason to vote no on the motion and hopefully bring this bill to a fast conclusion by accepting the House language in another motion in the future. Is that correct, Mr. President?
I think you described it adequately. Yes. Senator Neville?
Mr. President, members, one of the amendments that the House put on, as Senator Limmer was talking about, was that you need parental consent to give a 12-year-old, somebody 12 or under, contraceptives. We've had this debate before with respect to a body piercing bill. We've had this debate with respect to tattoos. How can this body pass a bill saying you need parental consent for those things when you're under 18, but somehow we won't approve giving contraceptives to somebody who's under 12? Have we lost all perspective? We don't need a conference committee for that. We should be accepting the House provision. That's very reasonable. In fact, it should be 16. But it's only 12. We should be accepting that House provision.
Further discussion? The question occurs on the motion by Senator Marty to set up a conference committee of three people. Secretary, we'll take the roll.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move those not voting be excused from voting.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary will close the roll. There being 37 ayes, 21 nays, the motion does prevail. Moving on to motions and resolutions printed on today's agenda, we are removing the Senator Betzold author's motion there. And there's two left. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, we'll take those as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Also printed on today's agenda is one resolution. Without objection, the resolution will be referred to the Rules Committee. Remaining on motions without objection, there's under introduction and first reading of Senate bills, there are three printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills.
Now, what are we going to now? Calendar?
Did you want to take up the calendar, Senator Pogemiller?
Mr. President, let's do that later.
Okay.
So if it's possible, Mr. President, then we could do some special orders.
Yeah.
So under motions, members, what I'd like to propose that we do now is take up the higher ed bill, House File 1063, Economic Development Vehicle, House File 122, Health and Human Service Vehicle, House File 1078, and State Government, House File 548. Then I would propose, depending on the time, I would propose a recess, hopefully for lunch, and then maybe caucuses so members could talk about the other two taxes and E-12. Would that work, Senator Senjum?
Senator Senjum.
Mr., are you chair or president now?
President.
Still president. Senator Pogemiller, would you yield? Senator Pogemiller, I think that before we get into this, it's like we need to talk. It's Wednesday before the Monday, and it's we're approaching time running out. And I think we're all perhaps not necessarily a little bit nervous about this, but I think there's time for concern. And so as we have been here since last January and certainly pledging to work together and to do the good work of the people, I think all of us, frankly, have worked pretty hard. And from the standpoint of your leadership as a majority leader, I think that you have moved the agenda along well. But I think that as we go forth today, I think we tend to make maybe a strategic mistake if we go down the road with these four, I guess, six bills today. I'm not sure that's the way that this should be approached. We're going to have our strong debate. We know how the bills will perhaps prevail. They will go over to the House. And then we end up back in veto land. Mr. Majority Leader, I am concerned about that, and I think perhaps you are too. And I think that as we look towards where we're going this session, we need to look at next Monday or perhaps even before. We need to look to get out of this place. And we need to look to you and certainly the Speaker, and for that matter, the Minority Caucus, working with the governor on this. That is the only way that we're going to get this thing resolved. We're not going to get this resolved by, you know, dancing through the exercise on the floor, taking the votes. That is absolutely not the way this thing is going to work. Unless we come together in a negotiation rather than a floor vote, we are never going to get out of this place. And we are going to see special session and who knows what else. Nothing that any of us want to see. And I'm so well reminded. Senator Day was there a couple years ago in Blooming Prairie, a parade. And then fun, members, to be in a parade when you've shut down government. That's not fun at all. And for those of you that never experienced it, I don't wish upon you. But it is not fun. And we can't go down that road, Mr. Majority Leader. And again, I'm definitely scared of this. I'm scared of it from the standpoint of I've got minority members over here that have repeatedly told me that they're not involved in the process. And I know you've worked hard to try to involve people, but the system really hasn't maybe kind of allowed it. We've got conference committees that have met certainly last night, actually not even conference committees, kind of work groups. Maybe a couple of years ago we would have called them rump groups. that simply work together in a room someplace, and suddenly this big mass of bills appear. And yes, certainly somebody in some office is doing some very good work. But I'm not sure this good work is enough to get us there. And I think it's an improvement, Mr. Majority Leader, from what we've had before. But I dearly believe that we need to think about getting with the governor on a very, very informal basis. And that the work of the Senate at this point and the work of the House needs to be done with the governor. And short of being done with the governor, again, I fear dearly and certainly very seriously that we're going to be walking this legislature right off the cliff. And if we do that, shame on all of us. We have some vehicles here today, members, and those vehicles have been put together, and with certainly some effort. But we all know as we look at those vehicles that they maybe fall short of where we need to be in the end. And where we need to be in the end is not with bills stuck over in the House, perhaps even approved over there, and then vetoed, and then it's Saturday, and where do we go? We go home with nothing. And again, that's not where we want to go. So, Mr. Majority Leader, I don't know if anybody wants to speak to this, but I would really hope that we could spend today and as much of today as necessary, and tomorrow and the next day if necessary as well, in conference with the governor, the speaker, yourself, the minority caucuses if you want us, trying to work this out, trying to do the work of the people. That's what the Senate's up here for. We all remember last January. We all remember the election. Go up there, hold hands, get this job done, get it done together. Don't look like fools. And I don't think any of us want to look like fools. We're much better than that. We know that. We work hard up here. But I'm seriously concerned that this approach is going to work. You have done a wonderful job of teeing it up. I will give you that. But as the ball is on the tee today, and if we hit that ball, and if we hit it in the rough, we're not going to get that ball back. You know, it's in the drink. We're not going to get that ball back. We're not going to have a second chance. And so, Mr. Majority Leader, if you would, you know, talk to me a little bit and give me your thoughts. Because I think this is the time. This is the time of this session. This is perhaps the most important time of this session in terms of drawing this to a conclusion.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Senjum, thank you for your comments. During discussions with the governor's office in the last few days, there was a request to what is it that the House and the Senate agree on all these bills in terms of the details, the total picture, and the revenue necessary. And to some extent, it was a struggle getting the House and the Senate to agree to all these details. This work product is that agreement now. And we wanted to, And appreciate Senator Senjum's cooperation in the Rules Committee in getting this consummated, because now we have a product where we know what some potential compromises are. I think we have a pretty good picture of the framework of the revenue that would be necessary to get at least the House and the Senate to agree to a final agreement. And so this was a public way of providing that information to the executive branch. I'm not saying that was their request that we do it this way, but I'm just saying that this is now a way to do that. And we have in great detail in these bills created that. We are up against a midnight deadline tonight in terms of vetoes. And so we want to have bills hopefully that the governor can sign, but we understand today that there will be discussion about that. And we are contacting the governor's office to make sure that they understand that we want to have discussions about that, because we would Our preference would be to pass bills through the House and through the Senate today that the House concurs with, that the governor signs. And we need to do that by midnight for the purpose, without a commitment on the signatures, we need to do it by midnight because then that brings another set of finality to, okay, whatever's in that bill, I have to veto the whole bill, or there's a few line items, I can get there that way. I don't believe the Speaker or myself, we want to meet the Saturday so that it isn't the final. Let's say we can't come to an agreement today on each and every piece of this. We then do have 3 days still to operate, to accomplish the work, because I presume the governor would not wait for 3 days and then veto it at the last minute. Even if he did, we still have Sunday and Monday. But I don't believe that's what he would do. If he felt the need to veto a bill because we hadn't come to a total agreement, I believe he'd do it sooner rather than later. But even if he did wait to the last second, this protects the legislature from going into special session perhaps too. We would have Sunday and Monday to try to wrap up whatever wasn't. But prior to that, I think we need to use the public safety bill as a model of what could happen today on a few of these bills. Now that the governor has a sense of the total revenue that is workable for the House and the Senate, the Senate can process a bill, and at that point, the House can either process it or hold it. They can either concur or go to conference committee. If there were some changes that were necessary, I presume the House would go to conference that accomplished a consummation of the bill. I think the House would go to conference to accomplish that. That's what we did on the public safety bill. It's really small steps to what can we actually get completed one by one. In addition, we have left open the tax conference committee and the E-12 conference committee. And so even if those two bills went to the governor's desk and didn't quite make it, we have a readily available mechanism to accomplish whatever can be accomplished in the next couple of days. So, Senator Senjum, what I'm trying to suggest is that I think we need to work all of these avenues right now. The reason for doing this before, the reason for pressing this, and with your help, the reason to press this to the point we're at right now is so that we are not confronted with, this is the final vote on this bill, and if it goes down, we're in special session. Because we have that breaker of Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday. Again, I don't think that's actually going to happen. I presume if we can't consummate a bill with the governor, he would veto it pretty quickly, or he would give us some suggestions of here are the things we could do, and then we would try to figure those out quickly, relatively quickly. The differences are, in my sense, is the differences are not that great. I presume what the governor would like, in addition to what's here, is perhaps some further consideration of some of his initiatives. And I am thinking that the conferees are open to some of that. It's really a question of what are the trade-offs financially? Is there a little more revenue from somewhere else? Or is there a reduction somewhere that could accommodate the governor on one of his initiatives? That's the process that I think will take place in the next 10 hours or so. And again, the House, if there's a feeling like there was on the public safety bill that there's a way to get there, I'm guessing the House will wait to see if that can happen before they try to process the bill. And I'm thinking, and we are taking them, I'd like to take them in the order where I think that's most feasible: higher ed, economic development, state government, except for one or two major pieces, and human services is really a question of at what level of total money can we get the deal done? Because that's the one that's most significantly over the governor's target. So I would hope the members would be willing to start processing, and then let's see what happens here. And the reason for holding ed and taxes to later is to make sure that members have a ability to really get through those bills. I offered to staff, but I'm going to offer to Senator Senjum publicly, to when we recess, if we can process the first four, when we recess, I would suggest that Senator Clark explain the E-12 bill to our caucus, and that we offer Senator Bach to come to your caucus to talk about what's in his bill, if you have questions. And then we would reverse that. Senator Clark could come to your caucus and discuss the bill as it's the amendment as it stands, and Senator Bach would come to our caucus. And then I think we would know more totally as a group about where we're at. And I'm suggesting that the level of revenue that is in the bills to accomplish all this is clearly something that the House and the Senate could go home with. I think we're not quite there yet with the governor. He's not committed to this level of revenue yet. And I'm assuming that he would like more consideration of some of his initiatives. Some have been considered. Senator Pappas has put some achieve in, perhaps, and I'm not saying anything out of school. I think she's already got some information that the governor appreciates that, but perhaps thinks some additional revenue there might help. So those are the kind of discussions that I think will go on in the coming hours. And what I'm concerned about is if we just stop and try to resolve it all, there's too many moving parts, and that we would then miss the ability to protect ourselves on the Saturday, the midnight deadline.
Senators Vandenberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Porgemiller, yield for a question.
He will yield. Senator Vandenberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Porgemiller, do we yet have targets, you know, the overall numbers showing the breakdown by major spending areas, the balance in the checkbook, so to speak? Do we have those yet, as are stated in our rules?
Mr. President.
Senator Porgemiller.
Yes. This set of amendments accomplishes a structurally balanced biennially budget with inflation included, with $150 million extra in the reserve. So it's not the $629 that the Senate had hoped for, but it is slightly more than the governor was suggesting. And it's structurally balanced biennially, not annually, biennially. And it does not include revenue sources that the governor has fundamentally opposed to: income tax, business property tax.
Senator Vandenberg.
Mr. President, I'm going to wait till Senator Senjum was finished, I think, if I could.
Okay, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Mr. Majority Leader. Mr. Majority Leader, members, again, sincere thanks for the explanation. I take it for what those words are, and I sense a conviction there to get things done. But I also, Mr. Chair and Mr. President, members, continue to have concerns. And I know our caucus has concerns because we've talked about this a lot. We've talked about the end game. And we've talked about how important it is with respect to the end game that the House, the Senate, and the governor play that game together. So, Mr. President and Mr. Majority Leader, I am wondering whether or not you would take me up on a proposition. And that proposition would be that perhaps we recess until 1 o'clock. That you and I, and any other leadership you want, your chairs, go down and talk to the governor. let's deal with strike two. We want to go strike three. Strike three is a, you know, strike three, you swing at that one and you miss, you're out. Then we're home. Let's play on strike two. Let's see if we can make strike two work. Let's see if we can, within the scope of 2 hours, begin to see some progress on these bills. And as I look at these bills and I write them on my Palm Pilot, higher education, jobs, state government finance, I think those bills can be modified. I think those bills can be made to work. They're not all that far apart. I don't think we are, at least. You know, we got health and human services a little harder, taxes maybe a little harder, but I don't think we're that far away. And I'd like to, Mr. Majority Leader, I'd like to play strike two. You've teed it up nicely. And we got the, let's not waste these bills. If we waste these bills, we can't recreate this thing, not easily at least. Maybe you can. I can't. but I can't. You know, process is process. Let's play on these bills, and let's play at strike two. Let's not go to strike three and worry about maybe missing one low and outside and having to go home. Mr. Majority Leader, I would ask, I think from our caucus, if you would agree to that. You know, let's just have lunch. I think, you know, we can get out of here by midnight. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does start to work, I think, you know, we've got some magic going. And you said, the public safety bill, I think, was an excellent example. You know, good people come together. You know, good people, good convictions, good motives. There isn't a one of us in this Capitol building today that doesn't want to get out of here on Monday. Mr. Majority Leader, I'm looking at you. Do you have some thoughts?
Want to share your thoughts? Senator Porgemiller.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, I believe that's an excellent idea. We have contacted the Speaker's office, and the Speaker is willing to do that. And so I think what we'd like is some assurance that if it's clear in the discussions with the executive branch that our best course of action is to proceed with the bills that you know, I know you can't commit for everybody, but that there'd be some sense that we should try to process the bills. But I would suggest that we recess to the call of the chair. We'll be contacting the governor immediately to see if he is available. And if members would kind of hang around a little bit here to see if we can reach the governor, that would be appreciated. Senator Senjum, what if we started to discuss those four bills and didn't vote on them until we knew what was going on with the governor? That way we could just have Senator Pappas talk about her bill and then no votes until we try to get this meeting arranged.
Mr. Majority Leader, you know, we've caucused these bills. I think we understand them, and certainly we're going to want an explanation, but I don't think necessarily we need a long explanation. So I think what, you know, let's just kind of, okay, let's go down and see the governor. And
Mr. President, then I would move a recess to the call of the chair, and members should watch their email, and we certainly will not come back before noon. But watch your emails, and we'll see. And we will try to provide information. If we get a meeting set up, we'll give you that information. and try to give you an assessment. So why don't we just leave it to the call of the chair, okay, and members stay tuned. I think, Senator Senjum, I appreciate your suggestion. I think it's excellent. I wish I had thought of it myself, frankly.
Senator.
So I move a recess.
Wergen, did you have a comment before? Okay. On the motion by Senator Pogemiller for recess to the call of the chair. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.